Hello, my name is Randy Rice, and welcome to this July 16th, 2007 podcast. And I would like to just go over some brief stories that are in the current news. We'll talk a little bit about what's in the Software Quality Advisor newsletter this month and some of the stuff going on at Rice Consulting, and then we'll go to a recorded interview with Dion Johnson about test automation. One of the stories that I found, I actually linked to this in this month's newsletter, and the reason it kind of caught my attention was the headline, and it says, "Testing Delays TWIC Card Rollout." And I thought, gee, isn't that interesting, how testing once again gets the blame for a missed deadline. However, the story doesn't end all that badly. But anyway, the story's about the project for the Transportation Workers Identification Credential system. And, of course, there's been a lot in the news about that over the years, that people who work at airports and naval ports and any kind of transportation facility need some kind of identification system, better than what's in place now. So there was a July 1st deadline, and apparently that was missed. And then under testimony recently, Maureen Fangway, I believe, I'm not sure exactly how that's pronounced. The TWIC manager for TSA said that we have an additional complexity, she told the House Subcommittee on the Coast Guard and Maritime Transportation, in describing the new testing. TSA, a component of the Homeland Security Department, is conducting additional tests to align the card with its threat assessment and screening data. While the missed deadline was acknowledged weeks ago, it was the first time the agency has publicly provided a detailed description of the testing that's currently occurring. The TWIC networks will be connected to the TSA screening gateway, which aggregates security threat assessment data, working with the FBI, Citizenship and Immigration Services, and TSA's Colorado Springs Operations Center, according to Fangway. It's important to note, she says, that the screening gateway is used across all of TSA's vetting programs. Not only must the internal components of the TWIC card work together, they must work in combination with a larger screening gateway. Rigorous performance testing is the only way to know for sure that the TWIC is ready to go live, and this is where we are in the process, and what remains is the testing, Fangway said. Under the Safe Port Act, TWIC was to begin enrollment at 10 ports on July 1st. It's now projected to begin enrolling port workers in the fall in Wilmington, Delaware, Fangway said. And she said that other obstacles have also delayed TWIC in recent months. Including the decision last year to align the TWIC credential with Federal Information Processing Standard 201. Activities to close potential data privacy gaps in the card technology and modification of the program to incorporate comments from the rulemaking process. So it kind of sounds like some last-minute requirements and changes to me. Anyway, TWIC is an advanced, sophisticated credentialing system. The greatest technological challenge that we are addressing is not the card itself, as much as it is the network behind the card. Breaking ground in technology has obvious advantages, but it also brings schedule risk, and TWIC is no different, Fangway said. And she closes, or the article closes, "Given a choice between meeting the deadline and program integrity, we chose the latter," which I do give them credit for that. Now, I want to talk just a little bit about the newsletter that is coming out tomorrow. I'm going to have a lead article in that on grassroots process improvement, which I hope you can read. It all goes behind the thought about, you know, as much as we talk about management having to lead process improvement from the top of the organization, how many times have you seen that fail? However, grassroots improvement efforts succeed. And the article kind of goes into some of my thoughts as to why that is. And so I encourage you to take a read of that. And also I link to some other articles I've done in the past about doing process improvement the quick and easy way as opposed to the big, massive, formal ways. And so definitely encourage you to read that. Now, a few upcoming events. If you're in the Oklahoma, Texas area, the South Central area, I'm doing a workshop August 8th and 9th. I'm sorry, that's August 9th and 10th, rather, in Norman, Oklahoma for weather applications. And you may not be involved with weather applications, but anyone can benefit from this session. It's going to be more like an intermediate to advanced session. We're going to get into a lot of things we don't get into in the basics classes, and it's going to be very much a workshop kind of thing. And so you might be like me and not work in weather as a profession, but really just like to be around it, like to read about it, like to kind of almost like a hobby. You'd probably find the class fascinating. So that's August 9th and 10th in Norman, Oklahoma. You will be with a lot of people from the National Weather Service, which that might be of interest to you as well. In Kansas City, September 12th through the 14th, 2007, I'm going to be doing an intermediate software testing workshop. That is sponsored by the Kansas City Quality Assurance Association, KCQAA, and I'm going to be speaking at their meeting also on Thursday evening, September 13th. I have a lot of good friends up there, and really looking forward to going up there again. We always have a great time up in Kansas City. And then a new venue, a new city on the schedule, Indianapolis, Indiana. We're going to do the very popular combination process improvement using root cause analysis. That's going to be on Thursday, September 27th, 2007. And on the following day, on Friday, September 28th, I'll be doing the workshop for becoming an influential test team leader. That's the very same session I do at the STAR conferences. Also, I'll be doing that at STAR West in October. So if you're out there at STAR West or sending people to STAR West, have them check out that one-day tutorial as well. But I'll also be speaking at the monthly meeting of the Indianapolis QA Association on Thursday, September 27th. So if you're in the Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, any of that area up there, you might be interested. And if you're in Europe, I will be conducting two classes in Rome, November 12th through the 15th. It'll be service-oriented architectures, testing service-oriented architectures on November 12th through 13th, and structured user acceptance testing on November 14th through 15th. If you want more information on any of these, just go to riceconsulting.com and you'll find that information. Now for a couple of other things. First of all, big shout out and thanks to everybody that was at STAR East. We had a great conference there. The keynote session went very well. I have posted that to the website under the conference presentations section. So if you want to find that, I also am going to put a link to it from my homepage. That's The Risk of Risk-Based Testing is the name of that presentation. And so I hope you can check that out. It's narrated slides, all that. And it's the same tool we use for our e-learning at Rice Consulting. I would really like to encourage you to visit the forums out on riceconsulting.com. There's not a lot of activity out there right now, and I would really appreciate a few people just kind of getting some discussion going. Ask a question. Doesn't matter what it's about, doesn't matter how basic it is, how advanced it is. I promise I'm going to go out and read these forums every day and see if there's any new ones out there, new questions. I'll answer them, and you may want to answer some of these questions as well. So go out and check out the forums. And speaking of e-learning, we are having a huge summer sale, 25% off all online courses until October 31st. You have a full year to complete the training, but the sale only goes until August 31st, so be sure and take advantage of that. And the foundation level course in software testing is getting ready to launch very soon. It hasn't been accredited fully yet, but it is ready for people to take if you're interested in studying for the CTFL certification. And my service-oriented architectures class is also coming along real well. It's going to be out there in e-learning format real soon also. Hey, if you want some free books, Every month now, I'm going to be doing a drawing based on the people who are signed up for my newsletter. So if you haven't signed up for the newsletter yet, just go to the homepage. You'll see a link on the right-hand side to sign up. Sign up there for my newsletter. This month, the drawing is going to be for the book that I give out with my IEEE standards class. It's called The Project Manager's Guide to Software Engineering's Best Practices. A really, really great book for a reference. Very readable book, and it also has that perspective of the IEEE standards. Now, if you want a few extra chances to win every month, you can get those by telling a friend about the site. There's a Tell a Friend link on the homepage you can click. And also, when you go to the forums and post questions, I also scan and put names of people from there in the drawing as well. The book review this month on the website is Jeffrey Gitmer's Little Green Book of Getting Your Way. In my test team leadership class, becoming an influential test team leader, one of the big things we talk about there is persuasion, how to speak, write, present, just basically have the ability to persuade others. And this is a really great little book on how to do that. So you'll see the book review in the newsletter. Now, the great thing about it is when you sign up for the newsletter, as soon as you sign up, then you see a link to read this month's newsletter. So you don't have to worry about missing it. Not only do you see this month's newsletter, but you see all the past newsletters as well. Okay, so that's what's going on at Rice Consulting. Don't forget about that 25% off sale on e-learning. I mean, hey, it's summertime, it's too hot to go out and do anything anyway, so you might as well take this advantage to build your skills in testing, and I don't do these sales very often, so be sure and take advantage of the 25% off sale. Okay, I want to now go to the interview I've recorded with my good friend Dion Johnson of Dijon Consulting, and he's one of my favorite people in testing, and also a great guy and very knowledgeable about software test automation. So here we go to an interview that I recorded with Dion a while back.
Well, I managed to catch up with Dion Johnson, Dijon IC, in Laurel, Maryland, and he just gave a great talk on software testing or test automation skills for testers. And so I want to talk to you just for a minute, Dion, about, you brought up some really good points, I think, things that we typically don't think about when we think about test automation. And one of those is the difference between testing and test automation. Can you kind of elaborate on that? What do you see as some of the main differences that sometimes we overlook?
Okay, well, first, thanks for even asking to interview me. Definitely an honor. I would say the main difference, or the main differences between manual and automated testing, is that manual testing pretty much creates the test logic. You know, it designs the test logic that's going to be implemented manually, you know, by a manual tester. Automated testing pretty much designs the script logic that's going to be implemented by a test tool. When you're automating tests, you shouldn't be trying to design test logic. The test logic should already be designed, and then you're just going to design the script logic that's going to implement it with the tool.
Okay, and now let's say that I'm a hiring manager and I'm going out to hire someone to do automation. How important should it be that that person has some basis in manual testing in their background?
Well, I think it is important. It's funny, I just got this question in the session, and I think it is important. I think the more you, the better grasp you have on manual testing, the better off you'll be, you know, even with automated testing. Now, I have seen situations where it has worked, where a resource has come over, you know, say from development. So, you know, they come over to automated testing. And I think as long as they possess the proper skill sets, you know, they're not trying to be developers on the test team, but they understand, you know, the proper skill sets in automated testing. You know, I think there are certain situations where it can work, where they're successful at test automation with limited, you know, manual testing experience. But, you know, typically I think the more manual testing experience you have, the better off you'll be.
Yeah, you know, it seems like I talk with so many people who do training for like some of the major tool suites and vendors, and they all just about to a person will tell me that they always feel frustrated because they can tell someone how to use the tool to do a particular function, but they never get a chance to tell them how to design a really good test around that function. Do you see that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You need a certain there's a certain analytical set of analytical skills that you need in order to be able to design a good test. So, you know, you may be effective or efficient, you may be able to use a tool. You may understand the features of that tool, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be able to understand the process that that tool supports.
You used a term that I'd never heard before, but I really love it. You're calling it macroscopic process knowledge. And to me, that really does, I think, put something in perspective here, that we need to understand the process before we go to the tool. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, the macroscopic process knowledge, basically says what you just identified. You know, it talks about the importance of seeing things from a broader perspective. You know, being able to step back and see the forest, not missing the forest for the tree.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a better grasp of the overall process so that you can effectively set proper expectations. You know, you can set, proper goals for test automation. You know, you can effectively plan. You know, you really have to understand things from a broader, what I call the macroscopic, process. Knowledge perspective.
Well, when you go into organizations maybe that don't have very much going in terms of test automation, how do you build the expectations with management as really what can be achieved with automation, not only in the short term, but in the long term? Maybe another way to say this is, how long maybe do you even tell them that it may take to really get some momentum in test automation?
Well, that's an excellent question. Basically, what I do is I try to go in and, I survey the land a little bit. I let them know that, because they'll ask me, at the very beginning, without even fully knowing what's going on, how long it's going to take to automate.
Mm-hmm. Typical management focus,
exactly.
Right? cost and time.
Exactly. That's the language they speak, cost and time. And, I can respect that, but at the same time, I just impress upon them that, hey, I can't really make an informed decision until I kind of see what's going on. I need to assess, if I'm working with other automators, I need to assess, where their skills are. In addition, I need to see what state the test, the tests are in, the manual tests that we're going to be automating from, or if there are even manual tests that we're going to be automating from.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see the complexity, of these tests, and then I just need to get in and figure out, okay, approximately how long does it take to execute tests manually?
Mm-hmm.
Once I get that information, then what I can do is I can go in and I can use the industry standard, formula that says it takes 3 to 10 times the amount of time to automate a test as it does to execute it manually.
Mm-hmm.
I can go to a lot of different sources on that. There's a lot of stuff, that you can't really find industry standards on.
Right.
But that's the one thing that we can kind of hold on to because it's kind of agreed to across the board.
Right.
So what I can do is say, okay, I've got 10 tests that need to be automated. It takes me, 1 minute to automate all those tests.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 10 minutes total. So that means it's to execute manually. So it's going to take me anywhere from 30 minutes to 100 minutes, for me to automate those particular tests. And, so I can kind of use that estimate. And then
mm-hmm.
if I'm dealing with other people, then I can throw in the factor, okay, you got to understand, they don't really understand the tools, so now we got to throw in some training time.
Right, and so this speaks to kind of the bigger issues of people in the rest of the organization embracing the tool and actually using it, and so getting the test in place, I guess, is one thing, but actually getting it deployed and embraced by the rest of the organization is that other step beyond that, I guess.
Right, yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. Okay, well, Dion, thank you so much for your time, and there's a lot of things down here to do in sunny Florida, so I'm going to let you get to those, but thanks a lot for your time and being a part of our podcast today.
Okay, thank you, Randy.
Okay, so if you want to know any more about Dion's services, you can visit his website at www.dijon, dijohn-ic.com. That's dijohn-ic.com. And you can find out more about his consulting services. So, thank you very much for tuning into this edition of the podcast. We'll be back, hopefully, in just a couple of 3 weeks with the next edition. In the meantime, once again, if you have any questions, any comments, anything, contact me through riseconsulting.com. Visit our forums, visit our community, and ask your questions there as well. So, until next time, have a great week.